This is MIT Technology Review.
Oh yeah, every piece of cloud is a photo op.
This is the sound of fighter jets flying over the California desert last fall, when I visited one of the most famous military airfields in the world, Edwards Air Force Base. It's where the space shuttle first landed, where the sound barrier was first broken, and where hypersonic X-planes first flew more than 6 times the speed of sound.
You have the flight line behind us, the clear blue skies, all this infrastructure and technology.
That's Chase Kohler, my tour guide and a spokesperson for the U.S. Air Force. During the past 75 years or so, just about every U.S. military aircraft has either been developed or tested here.
On this side, we have the Joshua Approach Facility, which coordinates all of that air traffic. And then you can see these antennas. We actually are responsible for all the telemetry data that goes on for flight testing, not only for Edwards. We also control everything out at Vandenberg Air Force Base, out in the Sea Range, and as far west as Nellis Air Force Base, out in the Nevada Test and Training Range. So essentially, all of this data that we're collecting in flight test comes down to Edwards, and it's managed right here.
It's also the site of many aviation breakthroughs, including this latest one.
So we are standing in front of the X-62 Vista.
When I visited the site back in September, I didn't know I'd even get to see it. This is an experimental X-plane flown by some of the world's top test pilots.
You can see here in front of us, it's completely souped up to host a variety of computers. And essentially, you can plug and play any algorithm you want in the future, take it up to the air, and test it in real time. And so we're really excited about this at Edwards. It's a collaboration between the U.S. Air Force, Calspan, Lockheed Martin, and AFRL. And it's basically going to change the game.
And a few months later, that's exactly what happened. In December, the Defense Department flew advanced fighter maneuvers with this aircraft on about a dozen different test missions. The game-changing part? It wasn't piloted by humans. It was flown by artificial agents. I'm Jennifer Strong. In this episode, we learn about the program that led us to this moment and where it might be headed next.
What sounds like an F-16 is getting ready to go up for a chase mission, so we're going to get a little close to runway and hear those afterburners ignite.
Awesome. Let's go. Let's go.
In Machines We Trust.
I'm listening.
A podcast about the automation of everything.
You have reached your destination.
My name is Sue Halpern. I'm a staff writer at The New Yorker magazine. A couple of years ago, I was just poking around on the internet and I saw an article. It was really just a little squib that said that DARPA, the research agency for the Defense Department, had put out a call to AI companies to develop artificial intelligence for fighter jets.
They were looking for algorithms not only to fly, but also dogfight, which is an aerial battle between aircraft.
And I just thought, like, how is this going to work? Like, what is this? And so I got in touch with DARPA and said I was interested in kind of paying attention to what they were doing.
So they invited her out to see the program in action. And she says there were two core objectives.
One is to get a real plane in the air. Fighting. That was one part of it. And the other part was, well, okay, you know, we're going to create this technology, but we're going to give it to fighter pilots. You know, they do an incredibly difficult task and that they train for this task. And the idea of just sort of handing it over to a bunch of computer code, I think was kind of worrisome. Like, okay, we're going to spend all this money doing all this stuff, but what if they don't use it? And so this other track that they're working on was, well, how do we get pilots to trust this stuff? And how do we know that they're trusting it? And what do we have to give them in the cockpit to trust it?
And so the coders developing the algorithms that would be used for the fighter jets and dogfighting were also tasked with writing code for another system called a distractor test.
Which looks very much like a very, very crude, like second generation video game, you know, sort of one step up from Pong, which they put in the cockpit. And the idea is that in order to trust, to measure the trust that these pilots were going to have in the dogfighting algorithm, they would give them something else to do. And while doing this other thing, they would be able to measure how many times the pilot stopped playing that game and looked out the cockpit to see what the AI was doing, and how many times they just stopped playing whatsoever and told the AI to stop its job and do what they were calling paddling off, which was just basically turning the whole thing off.
There was a ton of interest in this project, with groups of all sizes and experience wanting to test out their ideas.
And some of them had brought on some fighter pilots who would sit there for hour upon hour using these AI agents to see which ones were the best, and also to talk to the algorithm writers themselves to say, well, I would never do that move, that maneuver, or here's a maneuver I would do, or when the AI would do a maneuver that they would never have done, they would say, well, you know, yeah, that would be a really cool way to be able to get off a good shot. So there was a lot of expertise coming in from former pilots, fighter pilots or test pilots. There was one group in particular out of California, name of which is called Physics AI. And they really had this other idea. They were going to use a neural network, and they believed that basically math could answer the question of what would be the best way for these algorithms to do the dogfight. And they're very, very successful.
These algorithms grew more sophisticated with time, and she says the companies behind them began converging around how to build them. And the central theme of all this is trust.
Really, what they were trying to figure out is, okay, how do we figure out whether or not a person, in this case a pilot, is trusting the automation, but how do we also get them enough information to know when not to trust it? And so as this program has evolved, they're getting better and better data about how trustworthy these pilots are feeling about the AI, and trying to figure out, well, what do we need to tell them, and how soon do we need to tell them what the AI is about to do? How do we tell them that? Like, do they need another visual interface, or is that going to be more complicated? What about an audio interface? And what does the AI need to know about the pilot, and how much the pilot is trusting the AI?
Then there's also the complexity of putting these machines into real planes in the sky, which requires developing an intricate mathematical model of each aircraft.
Each plane is different. It responds to different environmental inputs differently. So you have to know what plane you're going to put it in, and then you have to make what's called an aero model of the plane, which is basically doing lots and lots and lots of flights to figure out, you know, what happens when the temperature is at this degree, and what happens when we are at this altitude, and so on and so forth.
The program also faced questions over its focus on dogfights.
When was the last time we actually engaged in a dogfight? You know, the kind of dogfight, you know, when we're like within visual range of the other guy. And the answer is, like, basically, we haven't done that in a very long time. And we're not likely to do that again, because most weapons are long-range weapons. And so that sort of led me to this question of, like, well, then why are we automating dogfighting?
And we'll take a deeper look at this after the break. You can find links to this reporting in the show notes, and you can support our journalism by going to techreview.com. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Brian Bryson, Director of Event Content and Experiences here at MIT Technology Review. I'm popping into this podcast to invite you to our upcoming AI conference, MTech Digital. MTech Digital is MIT Technology Review's executive briefing on artificial intelligence, its implementation, and impact on business and society. If you're tasked with integrating AI into customer offerings or using AI to streamline operations, this is your once-a-year opportunity to meet and network with the peers and leaders on the cutting edge of AI. Learn more about this exclusive event at mtechdigital.com.
One of the reasons why militaries are excited about AI, to not just use AI to be better than humans, but actually to fight differently than humans. I'm Paul Shorey. I'm the Vice President and Director of Studies at the Center for New American Security, and I'm the author of Four Battlegrounds, Power in the Age of Artificial Intelligence. So I've been in the national security field for over 20 years. I started out in the U.S. Army as an Army Ranger, did a number of tours overseas to Iraq and Afghanistan, and then I worked in the Pentagon as a policy analyst working on emerging technologies. So ACE is DARPA's Air Combat Evolution Program. So DARPA is the Defense Department's, but sometimes we call it Department of Mad Scientists. So it's a research wing that takes on what they call DARPA hard problems, really difficult technical problems, to try to figure out if something can be done.
DARPA was created in the wake of Russia's Sputnik space program, with hope of avoiding future technological surprises.
One of the difficult DARPA hard problems is building an AI that can fly an aircraft as well as a human, particularly in dogfighting, when aircraft are competing head-to-head and there's split-second timing that's needed to get a shot off. It's an extremely demanding environment for people, and it's an important testbed to see what AI can do in an aircraft and in a combat environment. So DARPA's Air Combat Evolution Program is a step-by-step approach towards building AI agents, the goal of which is eventually integrating them into cockpits. And in fact, the goal is not actually to totally replace people, but instead, like in many industries, to offload some of the things that people are doing to an AI system, allowing the human to focus on higher level tasks that really only the human could do.
DARPA's ACE program launched in 2019. And one of the first things it did was develop AI agents that could operate in a simulator. Then came a big breakthrough with DARPA's Alpha Dogfight Challenge, where, taking a cue from systems like AlphaGo that beat the top human Go players, a number of different companies trained AI agents to compete in a simulator.
We're streaming live on YouTube. Welcome our YouTube videos on the DARPA YouTube channel to the Alpha Dogfight Trials. We're a couple of minutes away from this first semifinal, Team 3 Physics AI versus Aurora, to fight for that right to be Alpha Dogfight champion.
And then the winning agent, which incidentally came from a company that no one's ever heard of before, an AI startup called Heron Systems, that beat out Lockheed Martin in the finals, which is wild, went head-to-head then against a human. And this AI agent went against a very experienced Air Force pilot in a flight simulator and totally crushed the human. 15-0.
And getting right down to the floor, banger down at 1,300 feet. He's going to really make Heron prove that they can do this gunshot at the floor, one of the most difficult things you can do in airborne execution in an F-16. We'll see if the AI is able to hack it.
The human didn't get a single shot off against this AI agent. And one of the things that was really mind-blowing is the AI agent learned to execute shots that humans actually can't do.
This is really aggressive maneuvering. If you look at the G meters in real world, we're talking 9 Gs, really physically demanding, 500 knots. You're talking about flying around in the air greater than 500 miles an hour and trying to do these very fine motor skill controls against another aircraft.
Just inside of 3,000 feet, looks like Heron saddling up and with the kill.
And again, more of just that superhuman aiming ability that we're seeing out of Heron in this simulated environment.
It's these split-second gunshots when the aircraft are circling each other, and there's a brief moment where they're nose-to-nose, and the aircraft are racing against each other at hundreds of miles per hour. And shooting in that environment is actually banned in training among humans, because when the aircraft are racing directly at each other, you want the human pilots focused on not having a collision.
The AI learned these advanced tactics on its own and executed them with superhuman precision. Because while a human pilot needs to sacrifice battle readiness to ensure their own safety in a potential collision,
AI, of course, can do both at the same time. Now, one might argue that it's unfair for an AI agent to use a tactic that's banned by humans in training. Human competitor couldn't even practice that. But of course, in warfare, you know, using a unfair tactic is really what militaries want to do.
But it requires a layer of trust between the machine and the human in the cockpit.
A big barrier to AI adoption is trust. It's getting humans to trust that AI system. And if military can show pilots that an AI can do dogfighting, that's going to help improve trust that pilots might have in that AI system. Because for humans, dogfighting is an extremely difficult task. And then open the door to using AI in other ways in aerial combat. And the long-term goal is to allow the AI systems to physically maneuver the plane, including defensively or even in a dogfight if necessary, while the pilot focuses on higher level mission tasks. So the pilot can be looking at the broader situation, can be focused on where are the enemy aircraft, where are friendly aircraft, what are the decisions I need to be making, rather than moving the throttle and the joystick and maneuvering the plane, which an AI could do, frankly, better than a human.
Andy says there's another part of the ACE program that's studying this issue of trust. It uses sensors in the cockpit to look at what the pilot is doing when AI is flying.
Trust is a really difficult thing to both measure, but also to even understand where do you get to a trusted relationship between the human and the AI system? Because it's not always the AI doing what is better. In games like chess or Go, there's a clear metric for better performance. But in some real-world situations, what constitutes better might be what the human is comfortable with.
It's a constant battle for optimization that considers how the human will react psychologically to a given protocol.
So one of the things that Heron Systems, the company that won the Alpha Dogfight Challenge, told me is when they were designing their AI agent, they had choices to make about how it optimized its dogfighting tactics. So, for example, it could be more aggressive and try to go in for the kill shot early, or it could be more conservative, save its energy and altitude, and play the long game, which might have a higher probability of success in the long run. They actually gauged that pilots would be more willing to trust the AI system if they could see it being more aggressive. That's how fighter pilots are. Fighter pilots want to go in for the kill shot if they see an opportunity, and they were worried that if the pilot saw that the AI system might have an ability to get a shot off and it didn't take it, the pilots would lose trust.
We're at the beginning of a new age of warfare, and he compares it to where militaries were at with aircraft after World War I.
Where very simple biplanes had been used, but they certainly had not transformed military operations or warfare in the way that we saw in World War II, when aerial bombardment leveled whole cities in Asia and Europe. And so an interesting question to ask is, well, what would warfare look like when AI is integrated into a whole wide range of applications, like AI dogfighting, but also in other places in war? Some Chinese scholars have hypothesized about what they call a singularity on the battlefield, a point in time at which the pace of combat action eclipses humans' ability to keep up. And militaries have to effectively hand over control to AI systems to fight because humans can't possibly react in time. And that raises, of course, very troubling questions about how humans maintain control over warfare. That's an important reason to think ahead about some of these challenges and look for ways to get countries to maybe agree on arms control or confidence-building measures or other ways to minimize some of these dangers of artificial intelligence and warfare.
Next episode, we experience synthetic dogfighting firsthand from the cockpit of a real aircraft over the Pacific Ocean, because AI is not just changing how we build and train machines, it's also changing how we train ourselves. This episode was reported and produced by me and Anthony Green with help from Emma Silikens. It was edited by Matt Honan, mixed by Garrett Lang, with original music by Garrett Lang and Jacob Gorski. Thanks for listening. I'm Jennifer Strong.
This is MIT Technology Review.